Good morning, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and call the committee on Senate Committee on Judiciary to order. Today we have one bill that's set up for a public hearing and possible work session, and then we have three bills that are currently scheduled for work session. A couple of the items we have today are date, are time certain as to when we can actually take action, and it looks like we're about 10 minutes out for both of those before we can actually take action. But we can go ahead and take testimony, and I'm going to go ahead and do that, but I just wanted to make people aware, if you're here on Senate Bill 236, we're waiting for the fiscal. We don't expect it to be here today, but don't take off because we may still want to do something on that. And then as a general announcement, we've been told by the Secretary of the Senate that the way our procedures and rules are working, if we are not able to complete the work on a bill today that's scheduled for either public hearing and possible work session or a work session, I'll get back to that one. We will need to roll them over to the next day. I thought we would be able to roll them over with a date certain in the future between now and the 21st, but apparently they said that is not the case.
Really?
Yeah, which is interesting. And we'll check with Laurie. I don't know that Laura's already done that, but I'd like for her to relook at that because I thought we used to do that.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have changed the rules. So we'll get a clarification on that. And then as we talk, it's like miraculously, fiscal's now in on 236. So that means we can work 236 because we do have the fiscal. All right, so let's go ahead and go with the public hearing we have scheduled for today, which is Senate Bill 788. Laura?
Yes, Chair Pruszynski, members of the committee. Senate Bill 788 is sponsored by Senator Hansel at the request of Dr. Andrew Clark. We're still waiting for the paperwork back on this one, and we expect to have a work session maybe this Friday. We do have a small amendment before us today. The proposed Dash 1 amendment provides clarification that disclosure is required of protective orders between the parties instead of against either party. So currently in Oregon, the petitioner to suit for marital annulment, dissolution, or separation is not required to disclose whether any protective orders exist against either party. Senate Bill 788 requires the petitioner to disclose whether there exists in this state or any other jurisdiction a protective order against either party as authorized by certain laws, as well as any other order restraining one of the parties from contact with the other or with the party's minor children.
All right, thank you. Senator Hansel, why don't you go ahead and come on up? You're the only one I have scheduled, at least listed here, to give testimony while he's sitting down. Is there anyone else who will want to give testimony today on Senate Bill 788? Bill, when you're ready.
Chair Pruszynski, members of the committee, for the record, Senator Bill Hansel, State Senator from District 29 in Eastern Oregon. Senate Bill 788 comes to you from a meeting I had with domestic violence advocates last September. They inform me that currently issues of domestic violence are not required to be brought up to the judge or jury if the family is going through a marriage annulment or child custody hearing. Although this bill does not look much like a domestic violence bill, I believe the bill will help solve some issues that arise from domestic violence issues. This bill would require that judges be informed for any issues relating to stalking or other restraining orders if the family is going through a marriage annulment or child custody issue. It's a fairly straightforward bill. It does not require that the judge act in any specific way on the information they're given. Simply, they are required to know about it prior issues. Thank you, and I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, questions? Well, I have one question. We talked about this with the judiciary staff, and it's our interpretation from your testimony. It sounds like that's correct, is that this is really limited to orders that are between the parties themselves, not something that could be a third-party type of restraining order between one of the spouses and someone outside of the marriage.
That was certainly my that was the intent, yes. Section D on the bill lists the particularly references where this is, and I think there's a one-word amendment that is being suggested, totally supportive of it, would even further clarify the very issue you're talking about.
I just really wanted to get that on the record so we
can
set what the intent was, and I do understand that that is the Dash 1 amendment that we're talking about.
Correct.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, I'll ask, is there anyone else who wants to give testimony on Senate Bill 788? Not seeing anyone coming up, so we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on 788. Now, this is one of the ones that we technically cannot move for another 7 minutes or 6 minutes.
Yeah, we can't adopt the amendment for four
okay.
minutes.
Okay. So let's go ahead and go to our work sessions. We now have the fiscal, as I stated, on Senate Bill 236. So I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on 236. And Laura, why don't you remind us what we got?
So Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 236 came to us at the request of the Office of the Governor on behalf of Oregon State Police. We have no revenue impact and no fiscal impact on this bill. We had a public hearing on March 30th previously to talk about it. So currently under Oregon law, the director of the Oregon Department of Administrative Services possesses the authority to carry out the provisions of the public contracting code. DAS serves as the enterprise-wide purchasing authority for the state of Oregon. Senate Bill 236 additionally authorizes the Department of State Police to enter into lease agreements and take title to real property as the superintendent of state police considers necessary for the performance of the duties of the Department of State Police and the Oregon State Police.
All right. So no amendments are necessary on this?
No.
Senator Cruz, are you comfortable with?
Yes, I am. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 236 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 236 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And Chair will carry 236 on the floor, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 236. And we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 370.
Okay, Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 370 came to us at the request of the Senate Interim Committee on Judiciary for the Oregon State Bar's Family Law Section. We do have we had a previous public hearing on this on February 4th, so a while back. And at that time, we had some great discussion and talked about some additional amendments this bill might need. We have those amendments before us today in the proposed Dash 5 amendments. And on those amendments, we have no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement issued. So current Oregon law states that payment of any death benefit under any public employer retirement plan that would otherwise be made to a person entitled to benefits under the plan should be paid in whole or in part to an alternate payee if and to the extent expressly provided by in the terms of any court decree. So there had been disagreement regarding a surviving spouse and what the definition of an alternate payee is. Senate Bill 370 allows certain death benefits to be paid to the former spouse of a public employer retirement plan member as provided in a judgment of annulment or dissolution of marriage or of separation. It additionally mandates that benefits be available to the former spouse after the effective date of any judgment of annulment or dissolution of marriage or separation. The proposed Dash 5 amendments provide further clarification regarding the language, and it does make the language more concise. It adds provisions to address divisions between spouse and the former spouse of the member. It specifies when a public employer must provide retirement benefits to the former spouse or the dependent child in the event of the member's death. It states amendments do not affect any collective bargaining agreements entered into before the effective date.
All right, and this is, you said had a fiscal that looked like.
Yes.
Why don't you go over the fiscal?
So the fiscal on this, which I just received, so I haven't been able to go over in detail. What they talk about here is that the PERS estimates the cost for an upgrade that would be necessary to the public employer's retirement system, that the cost of the upgrade necessary to make changes to the Clarity program may be needed in order to split accounts for the OPSRP members. And those upgrades, they estimate, could cost approximately $225,000. And they might also need other funds to hire an outside contractor to complete the necessary changes. But he says, given the relatively low number of impacted PERS members or beneficiaries, a cost-benefit analysis will need to be undertaken to evaluate whether a lower-cost alternative is available, including the continuation of the manual process.
All right. I noticed on my copy of my cheat sheet here, it says experts available to answer questions if needed. Are they here to be able to answer questions regarding the fiscal? Okay, why don't y'all come forward?
You guys have a copy of it? You've seen it?
We have not received a copy of the fiscal, but we understand. We heard the cheat sheet version.
Okay.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, my name is Ryan Carty. I am here as a representative of the Oregon State Bar's Family Law Committee, Family Law Section. I'm also a private practice attorney practicing here in Salem, Oregon. My practice is limited to family law. Joining me is Clark Williams, who is also an attorney here in Salem, and he's a pension benefits specialist. I've been practicing law for over 30 years and was the primary drafter of the statutes, the underlying statutes that we're now amending, and so we're here to provide any feedback you might have regarding the fiscal, yes, or any of the other Dash 5 amendments or the substantive law as drafted.
Okay, let me ask if there's any questions. Senator Thatcher, looks like you might have a question.
Well, I was just wondering about, I thought you said this is technical questions on the fiscal?
Yeah, that's what I thought, but this is not.
Oh, okay.
The team that's going to be there. Yeah. I mean, y'all can maybe give us a little bit, but we really need the people with PERS are the ones that who we really need to be explaining what they have. So, Senator Cruz, do you have a.
No, I'm just wondering how real you think the fiscal is.
Well, that's a question I have, too. So, I don't know if y'all have any comments. It seems to me that you're at least once, if not twice, removed from the. The PERS board and what they've reported to our Ways and Means people.
Senator Przanski and the committee, my initial reaction is that's a very de minimis figure, figuring a $70 billion fund, and this is a charge to the fund, not to the state budget. We're doing some quick math. That's $225,000 is one-third of one-thousandth of 1% of the PERS fund, so it's a to fix this, I think, inequity in the system, it's a pretty cheap fix.
All right. Since we have not had a chance to go through and actually read the fiscal, I guess the one thing that is important is understand from your perspective it's a cost that would be absorbed by the fund itself. It does not require general fund dollars to actually implement.
I think I would have to look into it more to.
Yeah. I mean, if usually on the fiscal, it will tell us, you know, with the source of where the funding is going to be coming from or if it's going to be an impact on the general. That's what I'm more worried about. And I think, Senator Cruz, that's probably what you're focused on.
Well, yeah. It's regardless of where it's coming from, it's certainly above the $50,000 threshold.
Right. So. Right.
If I may. Thank you, Chair Przanski, members of the committee. One of the points that we've made to PERS is the way that the system works currently is that PERS is required if we enter a judgment, and that's what we're talking about, entry of a judgment, a divorce judgment that separates benefits to an alternate payee. And when we were here back in February, the point was made that the switch sort of that turns on and off is the remarriage or retirement of the member spouse. So if we divide benefits and half goes to each party, but the member spouse either dies before retirement dies before retirement and fails to remarry, then those benefits are never paid out. If the member either reaches full retirement age without remarrying or remarries and then dies before retirement age, those benefits are paid out. The point being here that no matter what the setup is, even under current law, PERS is required to track that alternate payee and include that alternate payee in the system. So whether they do it manually or whether it's part of this new overhaul that PERS wants to do, these changes that we're asking the legislature to put into place create no additional burden on the system because PERS, even if we left current law in place, PERS is going to have to track that alternate payee because they're going to have to know at the time benefits are payable whether to pay that person or not. So it's not placing any new obligation on PERS that wouldn't be there anyway under existing law. As I understand the fiscal, what PERS is saying is if this were wholly in and of itself, not relating to any other system overhauls, then individually this might cost $225,000. As I read it, though, if they're overhauling the system anyway, that's something they would have to track in the new system, thereby creating no additional burden.
Yeah. And Ryan, I appreciate that. The logistics that we're looking at is what is the protocol that we have as a committee if we can actually move the bill to the floor without a subsequent referral. So what we're going to do on this bill, we are going to carry this one over. So this is the first one that's going to be carried over to tomorrow. So we can get guidance from the president's office as to what they expect us to do in the sense of does it need to go down the Ways and Means to go through that process, or can we just take it to the floor? And so that's the clarity we need.
Yep.
So with that, thank you all very much for being here. And we're going to carry it over. And I'll just tell you, personally, you don't need to be back here tomorrow unless you just want to be here. To basically move the bill whichever direction we get to move it. And so thank you all for being here to give us some clarification on the other stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 370. And as I mentioned, that one is rolled over till tomorrow, which is Tuesday, April 14th. And now we're going to go ahead and open up. We are now beyond the bewitching hour. So let's go back up to, I guess, Senate. Let's see. Let's go ahead and do the last of the, let's see, that one's going to take some. We'll go back up to Senate Bill 788 and open up our work session on it. And this is the one that we need, the dash ones adopted.
That's correct. And then we'll get the fiscal back on that, and we have a work session later in the week on this one.
Okay.
Let's try to move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 788.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 788. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And so this one is also will have to be rolled over, carried over until tomorrow, based on what we understand.
This one's scheduled for work session on Friday.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. So it looks like we've already had planned for a work session on this Friday. We will not be rolling it over. We will just leave the work session on as currently scheduled for this coming Friday, which is the 17th. So that one will close. And then we're going to open up our work session on Senate Bill 390.
Chair Pozanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 390 comes to us at the request of the Senate Interim Committee on Judiciary. We have before us today the dash two amendments, and on these we have no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact. We previously had a public hearing on this bill on March 24th. The Senate Bill 390 clarifies definitions and terms affecting landlord and tenant relations. Specifically, it allows a landlord to charge a tenant a fee for the failure to clean up waste of a service or companion animal. It excludes from the definition of rent funds paid to a landlord by any other local, state, or federal housing assistance program, and disallows a tenant from removing, obstructing, or tampering with a sprinkler head used for fire suppression. Now, this bill, it's the result of a coalition group that did some further work to clarify terms a bit more, and so they came up with a proposed dash two amendments, which define terms, clarify the processes for fee assessments and applications by landlord, provides exceptions to both the landlord and tenant from certain provisions in certain circumstances, requires a landlord to at all times provide a route of exit from the bedroom for use during an emergency, and allows tenant to recover damages for noncompliance of not having that exit, as well as terminate tenancy with conditions. It also lists circumstances where tenant is not responsible for damages, among a few other items, I believe.
All right. So I see John Van Lanningham and Sybil Hebb here. Did y'all want to come up to make comments on the amendments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, John Van Lanningham, Lane County Legal Aid in Eugene. I'm the chief draftsperson, facilitator, and tenant advocate in the General Landlord Tenant Coalition. The dash two amendments really just implement the rest of our deal. It took us a while to finish those negotiations and then to work through the Legislative Council drafting process. So I can answer questions, but when I testified before you on March 24, I described the whole bill that we expected to be here. So the Dash 2 just implement our whole deal. There's nothing new here from our perspective. And my written testimony, which is an OLIS from March 24, addresses the whole deal, including the Dash 2. The Dash 2s are our gut and stuff.
All right. Any questions from anyone? John, thank you for being here. Senator Cruz?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 390.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 390. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 390 as amended by the Dash 2 amendment to Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz now moves the Senate Bill 390 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And is anyone wanting to carry the Senate Bill 390?
I think Senator Gelser really wants to.
Yes, I would love to.
Senator Gelser, thank you for volunteering.
Thank you.
Senator Gelser will be
our... that look about her. You know?
Actually, I thought Senator Burdick had it for a moment there. But then I guess it was that cheery face on the end that really wanted it. So Senator Gelser will be our carry on Senate Bill 390. All right, so let's just look at that. We're going to go ahead and close the work session on 390. And it's going to be... All right, so at this point, and I was just looking to make confirm, but I don't have my cheat sheet for Friday's work sessions and stuff, but we're confident that we have 788 already on there.
Yes. I'm happy to confirm that now.
Yep, we'll do that since we got the time. Make sure we don't want to start off on Monday.
I did not.
Dropping a bill. Yes, that's what we were told.
Okay. And it is indeed on the agenda for Friday for a work
session.
All right. The 17th.
That's why she gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
All right. So based on that, 788 will be heard for work session on Friday the 17th. We've taken care and moved Senate Bill 236 as well as Senate Bill 390. And that left Senate Bill 370, which is being rolled over on technical reasons, till tomorrow, Tuesday, April 14th. Anything else we need to cover today?
No, that is it, sir.
And we're scheduled to be back, I think, on the 8 o'clock cycle for... Sorry.
No.
No, not you. I'm looking at the daggers are coming.
I am sorry, Senator Burdick. That does say 8 a.m. for tomorrow.
All right. So we'll be back tomorrow at 8 a.m. Thank you, everyone. We're adjourned. We're adjourned.